Well, welcome everybody to today's broadcast. I'm here once again with my partner and I don't know. in heavenly things, dear Mark. Welcome. Good to have you back, my friend.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's good to be here again. Yes, because I was away last week doing the seminars with Trevor, which went really well, actually. So, yeah, it was good fun.
Well, can you just, for those who might not know what you did, and maybe just a little bit about the seminars and stuff.
Sure. Yeah, well, last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in the afternoons, Trevor Galpin and I did a series of three afternoons worth of seminars. We called it Planted in Love, Growing in Sonship, Living in Sonship. This was kind of like the third part. Did the first part with Barry back in June, and then the second part with Wynette in September. And so this was the final part. And we just talked. Trevor did a series of three talks, really looking at Paul's revelation of sonship, drawing on some of these stories from his new book, which I highly recommend, by the way, The Story of Paul, The Middle Years, available on Amazon. He's written it as a story, but it really covers Paul's missionary journeys and brings in a lot of biblical insights. He ties up the Acts of the Apostles with Paul's letters and merges the two into a story, and it's a really, really good read. So I recommend that. So Trevor did that. I did some things like the authority of sons walking as Jesus walked and so on. So we're doing that last week, and I guess we'll be doing something in the new year, but I haven't quite decided what that will be yet.
Well, because you said that you had mentioned that this was the final one. You know, we had the first two, and this was the final one of this year.
The final one of this year, yes.
Yeah, but you.
I think we'll be doing something in the new year, but yeah. Maybe something slightly different. But who knows?
Yeah. Well, with of course with the. Kind of the lockdown is still being in place, and you know there's some limitations, but of course we don't when we're online like this, we don't have the limitations that having to get on planes and all that. So let me just put it this way: I do hope, my brother, that you continue with these seminars and with new.
I think we will be.
Yeah, and even new topics, because I think it's there's a lot to, because one of the things, and I just encourage anybody who might consider this in the future, is that when Mark does these seminars, like it's an opportunity to go deeper into a certain area, and of course like for instance with comfort, and I think that was your second one, right, which was basically of comfort. So there's all kinds of opportunities there. So what else is going on, mate, in your world? Anything new and exciting?
Well, we just heard yesterday that Christmas is happening, so that is great joy to mankind.
Yay, that's fantastic.
And my family in particular, and other families in the country, so we're being allowed to meet in families for 4 days.
Well, that's exciting.
So we're very grateful for that. Certain number of households. So yes, that's all good news. Other than that, life's just plodding on. Thank you. How about you?
Oh, the same as you. We're still kind of uncertain about Christmas here in Canada, with the recommendations aren't to meet. Just to stay with your own home, but we'll see. We'll play that one by ear, but hopefully we'll be able to do the same thing. So, hopefully, and just welcome everybody to the broadcast, and we see people from all over the world on. That's so amazing. This never gets old. Mark and I've been doing this. This is our 11th year doing it, and we've morphed over the years. So, we so appreciate. You know, I noticed there's a few new people on as well in the chat. So welcome everybody. Today we are talking about, it's a passage of scripture that I think many of us are familiar with, which comes from 1 John 4:18, where perfect love casts out fear. And we, as usual with Mark and I, the way we do this, we have these conversations and we just trust that the Lord in his mercy will be with us and meet us and meet you too. So, but I trust that it will be a good opportunity for us just to unpack this and what does it mean for perfect love to come and drive fear out. So, but before we start, brother, would you mind just opening in prayer and then we'll see where we go.
Yeah, just before I do, Barry, you were saying that we've morphed into this setup over the last 10 years. Well, Facebook put a picture on my timeline the other day, a memory from 10 years ago. And it was my old, it was another room in the house where I had my computer. And it was very, very stark. It was just one computer on the desk. And, you know, I think in those days we used headphones with a little microphone here and we kind of winged it a little bit. And now we've got lights and cameras and blinds and backdrops and plants and things. And I just looked at that. I sent it to Barry. I said, look how far we've come in 10 years. So, we've moved a long way, but we still have the same Father.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, let me just pray and then we'll kick off with this. I think it's a really important topic. So, Father, we just thank you that you are good, that you are constant, that you never change. And you're loving us as much today as you did last week or 5 years ago or whatever. Mm. That your love for us is perfect. It's undiluted. And we just want to receive more of your love tonight. Mm. Father, we recognize that fear is a really big issue that gets hold of us. And even as we speak, Father, we just ask that by your Holy Spirit that you would just come and drive that fear out of our hearts. Mm. Just supernaturally, just as we're in your presence this evening, just as we're sitting in our living rooms, in our studies, in our spare bedrooms, in our kitchens, wherever, we're not in a car, but wherever we are watching this video, Father, would you just come supernaturally and drive fear away?
Yeah.
But more than that, Father, would you pour your perfect love into our hearts?
Mm.
Your steadfast, everlasting love. May we just have an encounter with the love of God tonight. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, this is a topic I think that is always relevant, I think, because it's just part of the human heart to really wrestle with issues, right? We all have concerns. Sometimes we might cloak them in different language about being concerned about something or anxious about something, stressed about something, worried about something. But oftentimes the root of all of those things have a root in some form of fear. And, you know, if anybody's just watching this and, you know, I just want to encourage you, like, this is part of the human condition. It's not like, you know, the Father understands this. It's not like he's there saying, you know, why are you afraid and you stop being afraid. He understands us more than we understand ourselves. And as King David said in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, he said, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we came from dust. So, you know, this is a topic that, you know, I feel that when we're talking about this, we're just unpacking this together. It's not like Mark and I have all these answers. There's things that make me afraid. I'm not sure about Mark. I think Mark's got it sorted. But for the rest of us, we
I don't think so.
But I really believe that, you know, maybe even in this session that I do believe that it's not us dealing with fear. It's not us that has to manage fear and try to battle fear. The title of this topic is Perfect Love Casts Out Fear. And so just to start, I do want to read 1 John 4:18. This is kind of the theme of our topic today. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And I just want to read verse 19 because it's the next verse. And so this is connected. And this is the key in my mind to learning how we can live in this place of being fearless, you know, having love drive out fear. And it just, Paul, John goes on to say, we love because he first loved us. And so, I don't know, when I think of Mark, when I think of just the love of God, God's love is always pursuing us, right? It's his mm-hmm. love is always initiating to us. He's always, it's like religion, the heart of religion is kind of us initiating good works to God to try to appease yes. him. But the gospel is not that. It's the Father who loved us, who sent his Son. This mm-hmm. is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So I think, you know, when we're talking about this and unpacking this, that I guess my prayer would be that even in this time together, that the Father would mm-hmm. awaken in us mm-hmm. the pursuit of love, and that he is actually pursuing us even in this, whatever circumstance that we're in. And I find it interesting, and I'd like your thoughts, Mark, and then we can bounce back and forth with it. But one of the things that even in this passage of scripture, perfect love drives out fear, the word there for driving out fear or casting out fear is the same word where Jesus cast out devils. And it's like when love comes, love doesn't come to fear and say, hey, you know what, fear? Let's have a negotiation. Let's have a conversation. Let's cohabit in this son or daughter. No, love doesn't do that. It's a very aggressive word, meaning to cast out, to drive out. And so it's my encouragement as we unpack this even tonight, that if you're struggling with fear, you know, welcome to the human race. I mean, I think, you know, there's in this, join the club. We're in a world now, especially with COVID, and I mean, if we didn't have enough things to be concerned about before this, now this worldwide pandemic has just created this level of fear, not only in our own lives, but in the media, in governments, in culture. It's just like everybody seems to be on edge. And so, you know, my prayer is that the Father would just supernaturally, by his Spirit tonight, inhabit us in a way where it's not us having to deal with fear, but it's the Father in his love that actually deals with fear. So that's what we want to talk about. So there are my initial thoughts, mate. What are your thoughts?
I just want to read those verses in 1 John chapter 4 from the Message translation, because I think it really adds to what you've just been saying, Barry. And I'm going to go back to verse 16. Verse 16 in the New International Version says, we know and rely on the love God has for us, for God is love. And those are experiential words. We know and we rely on it. They're not words that live here. They're words that live here. They are based on an experience. We know it because we've proved it. We've tested it. We've lived in it. It's guaranteed, right? It's not a theory. It's not a concept. It's a reality. And so I'm going to read from verse 16 to 19 from the Message, because it really kind of brings to life what Barry was just saying about the, you know, love and fear don't have this little chat about, well, shall we live together? Shall we coexist? this is what it says. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul. This love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so we are free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical to Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love, to love and to be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. And it's really that phrase I want to draw out, love has the run of the house. You know, we make our home in this house of love, where love has got total freedom, and we give love total freedom. So I think, you know, my initial thought on this would be, I think very often we allow fear to rule us. We look at the fear. We see the fear as a big thing in our lives, and quite often it can be a big thing. I'm not diminishing it, but we look on it rather than looking at the source of love. And so, you know, my simple encouragement really is, instead of looking at the fear, which can be like a mountain in front of you, it's actually better to look at the Father and to look into love and to allow His love to become the source and the resting place of our life, as Paul says in Ephesians 3, and that we give love permission to take over. I think when we look at love and we look into love and we allow ourselves to be loved, then love grows and the mountain of fear diminishes. Fear is really huge, and it can take over our lives. And in many ways, although it's real and although it's huge, it's actually very, very irrational. And it's the irrational nature of fear that takes over and consumes us. And one of the things I've discovered about fear is fear paralyzes. You know, fear cripples us. And I think fear, and we'll come on and talk about this a bit later, but I think fear is Satan's main weapon against us. Because if he can put fear in our hearts and that fear becomes this mountain in our lives, it actually stops us doing anything. It stops us being effective. It stops us living the life that God wants us to live. And we end up just being pretty ineffective, which is exactly what Satan wants us to be. He wants us to be ineffective. So that's my kind of opening thought on this, is we very often look at the mountain of fear, which is very real, but actually let's put the mountain to one side and look into love. And that begins to change everything for us.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I think of even in the Old Testament, you know, when God speaks to Moses, right, and he talks to them, this is when in Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, like Moses talks to Israel because he's going, right, and so now they're kind of, their security was in Moses who talked to God, and so now he's going to them. And he's saying to Israel these words, and they're very calming words. He says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or scared of them, the enemies, for Yahweh, your God himself is going with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. And I think this is one of the things, you know, and this is a repetitive charge throughout the scriptures. Don't be afraid. Fear not. For God's with you. I'm your God. I'm with you. In Isaiah, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I think it's like what you're saying there too, Mark, is that when we look at the presence of God with us, if we behold love and not our circumstances, not the fear itself, and then that's where the comfort can come, right? Because if you and I try to look at fear, or like for instance with the Israelites, you know, they would have been looking at these giants and all the enemies and all of the opposition and all of the impossibilities. But it's like Moses was even saying to Israel then, look at God, just he's with you. You don't have to be afraid. Where you go, he goes. And so, you know, when we talk about this, How do you see this practically? Like, you know, when we deal with things like COVID or the uncertainties of finances and all that, how do you see us making that really practical? Like, you know, 1 John 4:16, whoever lives in love lives in God and God lives in him. So for me, any thoughts on that?
I don't think we can make it happen. You know, the love of God for us, the Father's love for us, is it's a fact. It's there. You know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. There's nothing I can do that will make God love me anymore. And it's all very well saying, I've got this fear in my life. I need to deal with this fear by being more loved. Yeah. How can I make myself more loved? You know, because if I can make myself more loved, then the fear will go. And the answer is you can't make yourself more loved. And so for me, this comes back to a simple, I like to be simple, Barry. You know, I like simplicity. And for me, it's like, can I just go on soaking myself in love? And can I just go on receiving love? Can I be that love sponge that we often talk about? And I have to say that I've been quite surprised during this last year. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty, obviously, with COVID. At work, my job is I'm an accountant. We've got over 1,000 clients, I guess. A significant number of them employ other people. And so it's been a tough year, you know, giving them advice and helping them along. But one of the things that's happened is our government has been very, very generous in support. But of course, you know, it sounds good on the news, but you've got to take that, you've got to break it down, and you've got to give it, you've got to tell the clients how it works in practice. And it's been a huge pressure for us in the office, you know, added to everything else that we're going through in our own lives with the virus and everything else. But it's been a huge pressure to take all of this knowledge, disseminate it, and then give it to the clients. But, and, you know, there's other changes going on in life and other things happening, which are quite, you know, potentially quite big things and so on. But I've been surprised, I think, at how little fear has been going off in my heart. And, you know, I think if this had happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe there would have been a greater level of fear there. And all I know is that, you know, my journey over the past few years has been to just give myself to that life of living in love, to learn to walk as Jesus walked, to live in sonship. And all I can say, you know, you say, how does it work practically? In a sense, I can't give you a formula A, B, C, and D, because it's not like that. But I think the more we live in love, and the more, and I know you say this often, Barry, is make love our greatest aim. And I'm not focusing on making love my greatest aim because there's going to be a pandemic next year that I need to live through. Or I'm not making love my greatest aim because I've got a situation in my life that I'm walking through. I'm making love my greatest aim simply for the sake of making love my greatest aim. And I think as we do that, the fruit of that is manifest in our lives. You know, we begin to demonstrate a life that is living in love, that is rooted and grounded in love. So I don't want to give anybody the four steps to knowing and relying on the love of the Father, because it's, you know, it's not a formula. It just doesn't work like that. Yeah. It's very much, I think, the more that you and I as individuals are walking with the Father and are constantly allowing his love to fill our hearts, then the fruit of that life will be manifest, because it says, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. Fear has to do with punishment. Therefore, love has to do with life. And, you know, the more we live in love, that love will drive out fear. And as you said, it's a pretty aggressive word. It's casting out. It's got some force behind it. So that's for me. And I think, you know, let's just think, let's just focus on living in love and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, the again, I know we're unpacking 1 John 4:18, but the Amplified says there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist.
Yes.
And those words, dread does not exist in love. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a, it's counter to so much of what we experience in an orphan world system, right? It's just, there is absolutely no fear. There's no anxiety, no any kind of anything that would be of this world. And I know for me, I guess the way that the way that I deal with it, you know, and again, it's not the four steps. I totally agree with you that it is actually positioning our hearts to receive love and to live in love, to know that the Father is loving us, as our dear friend James Jordan would say, the Father has not only loves you from eternity, he's loving you in this very minute. And I know for me sometimes which is helpful is to remind myself, you know, that I'm just little. Right. And I think, you know, and I know we've talked about that a little bit, but just the fact that I'm weak and I'm helpless and I am, as Anne and I often say when we talk about provision, you know, we talk about us being just little baby eagles, you know, the little chicks, and then Mama Eagle just kind of drops the provision in our mouth. And I think, you know, when I think of it in that context, that the Father is, he loves us, he's our protector, he's our provider, he's our encourager, he leads us and he guides us and to everything. It takes the pressure off of trying to do it in our own ability, right? Because it's like, what do I have to do? And oftentimes, I think fear, this is one of the things that I can say practically. The Father speaks to me about, this is my story. This is nobody else's story. And again, this isn't a how to, this is just how life works for me, is oftentimes when I think about the future, and Mark knows this about me, I'm a strategist by nature, or, you know, maybe by fallen nature, but, you know, a planner and all those things. And sometimes I can get caught up in what is happening in the future. And every time I feel that way and that brings worry or anxiety, I just feel like the Father, I'm in his gaze. It's not like I see him in the spiritual realm, but in my spirit, I just feel that he's looking at me and he's smiling. And he says to me, Barry, are you okay today? Do you have everything you need today? But what about, yeah, but how about today? Are you good? Are we, and it just seems like oftentimes what that does in my own heart, it just calms the anxious heart and say, yeah, Father, I'm good. And then he just says, well, let's just stay here. Let's just stay here in the present, you know, and that, you know, he is the great I am. He is in the moment. And oftentimes the roots of fear and shame and anxiety is either going into the future or going into the past with regret and not, you know, remaining, like you read in whoever lives in love, whoever remains in love, lives in God, right? It's in the kind of the real time, him loving us right now. That's where we find the peace.
Yeah. Probably be quite helpful if we go back to the source of fear. You know, the first time it's mentioned in the Bible is obviously in the garden with Adam and his wife, and they've just eaten the fruit, and they suddenly become aware of what they've done. And they're suddenly aware that there's a consequence probably for what they've done. And so what they do is they go and hide. And God the Father comes looking for them and he says, Adam, where are you? You know, now he knows where they are. He wouldn't, you know, he always, whenever he asks a question, he knows the answer. And he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam eventually comes out and he says, I was afraid. So I hid. See, what he did was what happened, he realized his nakedness, his exposure, his shame. And he knew, or he felt, that he was no longer good enough to stand before his Father. So he went and hid. And of course that was the lie that Satan sold into his heart. You know, that you're not good enough and you must hide. You know, you're no longer good enough to face God. So Adam hid. And so that's when fear came in. And I really believe, I really see that we've got two kingdoms. We've got the kingdom of love, which is what we were created in and what we were born into, you know, through Adam. And we've got the kingdom of fear, which is what Satan sows into our hearts. You know, that fear came from him, and it's a very orphan-hearted way of life, you know. And so what Jesus has done, when Jesus says, you know, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, I will come to you, what he's saying is that kingdom of fear is coming to an end. You no longer have to live in a kingdom of fear. You can live in a kingdom of love. And that's what sonship is about. You know, that's living in love is living it as a son, living as a daughter. And that love drives that orphan-hearted way, that way of fear out of our, out of us. Fear has to do with punishment. We read that in 1 John chapter 4. You know, fear has to do with punishment. Where did punishment come from? Well, punishment has its roots in the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden again. Because the tree of knowledge of good and evil is me trying to work out how I can do everything right to please God. And the implication is if I don't do everything right, there will be a punishment. There will be a judgment. And, you know, I will have failed. And consequently, conversely, not only do I have to try and do the right thing, but I have to try hard not to do the wrong thing. Because if I do the wrong thing, there's definitely going to be a punishment. You see? And so when we live from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there is this fear of punishment all the time. Either we haven't done enough right or we've done too much wrong. And what we read in John that Barry read to us is perfect love casts out fear. Because when there's a fear of punishment, there's also a drive to perform. You know, performance is in our minds. Performance is the thing that will alleviate the punishment. If I can perform enough, if I can do enough, then I won't be punished. You know, I'll have got grade A. Yay! Woo! You know, and so no punishment. Well, why didn't you get A star or super A or whatever they call it these days? You know, in my day, you just passed an exam or failed it. You know, now you get an A or an A star or a super A star or something ridiculous. It's like, you know, so there's always this drive to perform. And underneath that is this fear of punishment. And perfect love casts all of that fear of punishment out. And that's when we start to live from the tree of life. Instead of trying to climb up the wrong tree, we live in the downward flow of life from heaven, coming into our hearts. And there's no punishment. There's no judgment. It's just the abundant life. So, you know, to understand fear, we have to go back to the root of fear in the garden and see that it is so opposite to everything God the Father is.
Well, and when you think about the truth of that, right? And again, when you even think of the garden and the lie that the serpent gave to the woman was, you know, you're going to be like God, like if you take of this, and they were already like God, right? They were his kids. Like you can't get any better than that. And so there is this lie of our value, right? That comes with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because it's like, it's based on performance. It's based on us managing and even controlling our circumstances, right? And I think of Luke chapter 12, verse 6 to 7, Jesus is speaking, and he says, aren't 5 sparrows sold for 2 Assyrian coins? Not one of them is forgotten by God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, don't be afraid. You are more value than many sparrows. And you know, when you're talking about, you know, the thing that drives us to the fear of punishment, the fear of not being good enough, the fear of making mistakes, the fear of us not being enough in whatever we do, it's all rooted in a misunderstanding of our amazing, immeasurable value to God. And Jesus said, the very, very hairs on your head are numbered. I remember hearing James Jordan talk about the hairs on your head are numbered. Like, I mean, of course, the older I get, the less I have to count. But, but what he had said even about that what Jesus said, it's not even just that he knows I've got, you know, 30 or 40,000 hairs on my head. Every one of the hairs has a number.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like if I pull out this one and it's, you know, 4,532, right? I'm not going to do that because I need all the hairs I can get. But I think, you know, when it comes to the walking in a revelation of love, I think it's the fear is rooted in a lie, right? And it's mm-hmm. rooted in a place where we don't believe we're loved enough, that that somehow we're on our own. We have to manage things. We have to, you know, fix our problems. And I think when Jesus said, you know, just don't you know how valuable you are to your Father? Mm. You know, he said something very similar in Matthew 6 when he said, you know, consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store into barns, yet your Father in heaven feeds them. And then he asked the same question, are you of not much more value than they? Mm. And I just wonder, you know, in our own lives, in the way that, you know, we all process our unique struggles, if even in this meeting tonight, that the Father, if we could just even calm our anxious hearts, I don't mean managing and trying to do that, but just asking the Father for the awareness of His abiding presence, of his Him loving us in this moment, you know, to calm that and to realize that, yeah, we are so valuable to Him. Mm-hmm. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the struggle with fear comes from a feeling that we're on our own. You know, we have to figure it out all by ourselves and we're not equipped to do it.
Yeah. No, I was thinking exactly the same thing, Barry, that fear is a consequence of our independence.
Yes.
I was just reading that passage at the beginning of Deuteronomy. You've quoted the one at the end of Deuteronomy, but at the beginning of Deuteronomy, Moses is saying to the people, you know, do not be afraid. I will fight for you. I will go with you. You know, have you not seen how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his child, as a father carries his son? You know, all of the way you went. Till you reach this place.
Mm.
But you know, the key thing is do not be afraid. Mm. And you know, the beautiful thing about that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 1 is Moses or the Lord is speaking to a people who are in rebellion.
Yeah.
You know, they are the first 28 verses describe their rebellion. They are rebelling against God. They're doing their own thing. They're living in independence. And the Lord says to them, don't be afraid. You see, the consequence of that independence and rebellion is we end up living in fear, because what we've done is we've stepped out of the comfort of the Father's embrace.
Mm.
And we've stepped out of the place where we are held in, you know, in that secret place, we're held in the shelter of His wing, we're kept safe, we're kept secure, we stepped out of that, which is exactly what happened, you know, in the garden. You know, we stepped out of that environment of love and started walking an independent journey. So I think, you know, one of the things about fear is it's rooted in independence and it's rooted in a self-sufficiency. You know, I'll do it my way. And then we become vulnerable because we, you know, the world is against us.
Mm.
Whereas if we allow ourselves to be carried like a father carries a child, we've got all of the resources of our Father to fight for us. But when we try and fight on our own, you know, we realize actually very often, I don't know about you, Barry, but it's a bit of a losing battle sometimes. And what we've done is we've stepped into that independence, which then we are alone. And, you know, and it's like, who's with me? I read last night when I was just thinking about this, I read the story of Peter walking on the water in Matthew 14. You know, he starts walking on the water. He's on a roll.
Mm.
But he takes his eyes off Jesus.
Mm.
And suddenly he's afraid. and fear comes in and he starts to sink. And it just showed me again, you know, very simply that, you know, when we take our eyes off him, we open the door to fear coming in. When we take our eyes off the source of life, of our provision, and we start doing it in our own strength, that's when we let fear in.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the way that I just would best describe it for my own life is I forget easily who I am and who my father is. It's like, I think the best way that I would describe maturity in the sense of growing in love is that the spaces in between when I forget and I start, you know, forget who I am, forget who my father is, who my big brother is. When I start trying to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders again, it's like, you know, you end up in a pig pen of your own making where, you know, you're your own resources, you're exhausted. And then it's like, oh, what was I thinking? You know, I'm going to head home. I am going to live in love. And I think for me, that is one of the things that, I think in my life, and it's the same thing you're saying, right? It's where we're focusing on, where our eyes are on, and it's when we're fixed on ourself, in our own resources, and we think that we're, you know, somehow God has just kind of kicked us out of the house and expect us to manage life on our own. You know, it just, I forget, but it's like, well, as soon as I, you know, say, oh, what was I thinking? I just run towards home. Now, but do you think, like, one of the things that, you know, when I always find it interesting in Romans 8 and verse 35, Paul saying, who shall separate us from the love of Christ, right? Then he says, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, right? So he actually talks about real things, right? So when we talk about fear, we're not talking about things that aren't even necessarily real, right? There are things to be concerned about. It's not like we're trying to say that a Christian's life is completely without any hardship. But it's in verse 37, he says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then in verse 38, when he says, for I am convinced, right, then he goes on to say that, you know, he lists out all kinds of things that will try to separate him. But he says, I am convinced. And in other translations say, I am persuaded. I really believe that the love of God, the initiating love, the continual pursuing love, the love that is continually being poured out by the Holy Spirit in us is continuing to convince us, isn't he? Like he's just saying, you're okay, you're safe, I'll protect you. It doesn't mean if the hardship comes, I'll be with you. You know, and I think that is the thing in my mind that really can bring comfort, you know, when we know even through all these things, no matter what happens, that we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And it's not a, because I think oftentimes, if we're not having a good understanding of who God is and how much he loves us, we almost think of hardship as an indication that he doesn't love us. You know, it's like the flower with the pulling out the flower petals. He loves me not. I had a bad thing happen. Well, God must not love me. But when we begin to become more and more convinced that nothing in all creation can separate us from his love, you know, I think that just brings such a, it's a continuum, isn't it? Really, at the end of the day, other than you, I know you have, you're on top of the mountain, but for the rest of us.
Come on, Barry.
We have fun with that.
Yeah, we do. Yes. It's, I think the other thing is really just recognizing sometimes, how debilitating fear can be. Yeah, you know, it drains our energy. It drains our resources. It drains our life. It's like someone pulls a plug out and all your life drains away. And then you sort of think, why am I going down this pathway? And things sneak up on you, you know, like, you know, fear about our health in the future. fear about what your kids might do in the future, you know, fear about finances, and, you know, very real concerns sometimes, but the concern can become a fear. You know, I think it's all right to be concerned about certain things, but the concern can be a fear, and the fear takes over. And then your imagination makes up all these things that, you know, I mean, I think sometimes we don't realize how creative we are. We could write a novel, we could write a story, and it would be gripping, it would be the bestseller. You know, what might be, and what, and, you know, and all of this sort of wonderful creativity that's sort of in our brains comes out, but it's manifested as fear.
Yeah.
You know, and the twists and turns are, and it always happens in the middle of the night, doesn't it? You know, when you're a bit tired and it's dark and you're on your own and, you know, your wife is next to you in bed and fast asleep and you're lying awake panicking. And when you look at it in the morning, you think, that was a waste of time. That was a waste of energy. But it's very, very draining. You know, it just drains our resources. And, you know, when we actually pull ourselves, see, that's why living in love is a life of rest, you know, because it's so much the opposite of the life of fear. Fear drains our energy. We end up knackered. We end up exhausted. But when we live in love, we actually begin to discover what a life of rest is all about.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about how creative we are. Because, I mean, it was spot on. And it was like you were having a word of knowledge for me. But, you know, it is it.
The other thing.
Go on. I was just going to say that, you know, a lot of the studies on worry talk about 75% of the things we worry about don't even come about. And that's like a scientific. So, again, that's the imagination running wild.
Yeah, I think we talk about this a lot on the webcast, Barry, but having a childlike heart. I look at my grandkids and I remember my kids when they were young. They didn't have a care in the world. I mean, and they would do crazy things, you know, and they just weren't worried. There was no fear. There was no concern. They just knew it was going to be okay. You know, they would jump off the top step and they knew I'd catch them. I didn't know I was going to catch them, but they knew I would catch them. You know, they'd be on the climbing frames in the park and, you know, hanging upside down at the age of 3. And they didn't have a care in the world. And I'm kind of going, bah! And now that particular daughter's a senior instructor at, chief instructor at an outdoor pursuit center. It's like, and I just think there's something beautiful about watching a child. And the way fear is not so present in their lives. You know, the more grown up we become, the more sophisticated we become, the more we give room to fear. And it seems to me, if we can just come back to that childlike understanding, that childlike dependence on our Father, then that's going to really begin to deal with a lot of the fear in our lives. You know, it's like, a child is dependent, not independent. A child is not concerned, you know, about where provision is going to come from. They just assume it's going to happen, you know. I mean, children believe in miracles. Children really believe in miracles. You know, they know that if they leave their dirty clothes on the bedroom floor, a miracle will happen. And that miracle is they will get picked up the floor, they'll get put in the washing machine, they'll get cleaned, they'll get dried, they'll get ironed, they'll get folded and put back in the drawers. You know, what has the child done to deserve that? Nothing. And they've seen a miracle happen because they just simply know, oh, my mum will do that for me, or my dad will do that for me. And it's like, okay. You know, and of course, as they grow up, they learn it's quite... not like that so far as their clothes go. But it's just, you know, they just, I've spoken to parents who have not known where the next meal is coming from for their kids. You know, they got no food in the cupboard, they got no money, and it's a really high stress time for them. They've got no idea how they're going to feed their kids. Their kids have absolutely no doubt in their mind whatsoever. They know that come tea time, there will be food on the table because they know that that's what mum does. And you know, that is just, to me, it's just like, let's come with a childlike heart. Mm. Let's just, you know, we know the fears in our heart, don't we? And let's just bring those to the Father. And rather than focusing on our fears, let's just hold them lightly and say, Father, will your perfect love cast this fear out? So, Father, we just come before you. We thank you for your perfect love that casts out all fear. We thank you that you're loving us now. We thank you that love can be given, you know, the freedom of our house, the freedom of our life, that we can be rooted and grounded in love. And so, Father, I just ask that you would pour that love into our hearts. Father, that we would experience your great love, your perfect love being poured into our hearts. And that fear that has been rooted in our lives, been rooted in our hearts, Father, we just want that to be washed away. We want it to be cast aside by the power of your love that we experience so gently, yet it is so powerful as it drives that fear away. Mm. Father, we don't want to be a people who live in fear, but we want to be a people who live in love. And so we ask you to just come and pour your love into our hearts now. Thank you, Father.
Father, we thank you that there is no fear in love. And as the Amplified Version says, dread does not exist in love. And Father, you know our anxious hearts. You know what causes us to be afraid, what causes us to be worried and taking on the weight of the world on our own shoulders. You understand us, Father, like no one ever has ever understood us. You know how we are made. You remember our origin, that we came from dust, that we are frail. But Father, your heart of compassion is for us and with us. And you share in our suffering, Father. You're not disinterested or disengaged, but you are with us through everything, that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Father, we ask by the power of your Holy Spirit, even in this moment, in this, whether it's live or recorded, that in this moment for every one of your sons and daughters, that there would be a tangible manifestation of your love that would just burst through any walls of fear, any anxiety, any feelings of hopelessness or despair. Father, would the oil of joy come? Would a garment of praise come for a spirit of heaviness? The oil of joy instead of mourning. Father, I just pray even in this moment there would be a divine exchange. Your love that would drive fear out of our hearts. Father, we are helpless to deal with anything to do with this fear. We are just little. And as Mark said, Father, the truth of the matter is we're just little kids. That's all we are. Mm-hmm. We might try to pretend we're big, but in reality, we're just little. And we can't provide for ourselves. We can't protect ourselves. We can't manage life. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, that you said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yeah. And so, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit that is just being filling us, even in this moment, with your love, would you just calm every anxious heart? Would you just convince us more today than yesterday that nothing will separate us? There's separation is an illusion, Father. The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has made their dwelling place in our hearts. Thank you, Father, that you understand us and you are very practical. Jesus, you said your Father knows what you need before you even ask. So, Father, even in this moment, would you just help us to cast every care upon you because you care for us.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes.
Thank you. Just encourage you in your own life. Just if there's things, any cares that come, any fears that come, that just like taking rocks out of a backpack, just cast it, just throw it onto God's big strong shoulders, because he can manage it. He's big enough.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Thank you, Abba.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. I've put the link for that song in the the chat. So you might want to listen to it later. It's a great song, and so it's just there. Yeah, it's also on my website, but feel free. Sorry it didn't work earlier.
Yeah. And thanks everybody for coming, and hopefully we'll be back next week, right, Mark?
We'll be back next week.
With bells on?
Bells and whistles.
Bells and whistles. All right, well, thanks everybody for coming, and have a great week.
Yeah, thanks everyone.
Bye-bye.